The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome to Pointing You Home, your number one local news resource for real estate and everything else. Today, I'm going to talk with Rob Stevens. He's a short-term vacation tax expert in the United States and one of the founders and general managers of Avalara My Lodge Tax. Welcome, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eric.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. And Rob, we're in the D.C. area. You're out in Denver, Colorado, at Centennial, as I recall. Wishing you well. Thanks for getting up so early to be with us this morning. We're seeing these Airbnbs and other companies like VRBO. This is just growing. It seems like every year steadily there's growth of mom and pops opening up rental apartments, either in their current homes or buying places and doing that kind of rental. Avalara, sure. My Lodge Tax is stepping in to assist in compliance. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. My Lodge Tax, we handle one specific part of the short-term rental industry, and that's really the sales tax, lodging tax, hotel occupancy tax. Just like a hotel, anyone that's renting their Airbnb or their apartment, their second home, their primary home, whatever the case may be, if you're providing overnight accommodations, you're triggering the same hotel occupancy tax requirements that a hotel would. So, we've developed solutions to manage and solve that for our customers, but that's what we're involved in, and it's a national practice, where we support, every state in the U.S. And I think, to your point, certainly short-term rentals have seen, frankly, explosive growth over the last several years. And urban markets really have been, some of the fastest growing markets.
Mm-hmm. So what are the biggest challenges? It seems like, even for me, I've got a second home. It's just staying on top of compliance, because every time you are renting through VRBO, I have to collect a certain amount of tax, then I got to turn around and file that tax.
Right.
How are you providing a solution?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll first mention the challenge, and I think one of the biggest problems is this is hotel occupancy tax, lodging tax. It's a type of tax. Most people that are renting their homes, these are people that are very familiar with income tax. They have to file income tax at the end of each year, but most of these people have had no experience with sales tax or hotel tax. So I think one of the biggest problems we've seen across the industry is there's really just a lack of awareness that this is something that people even need to do. Now that's changing. It's becoming more well known. But you're right. Your typical person, whether they're renting their Airbnb in D.C. or New York City or Los Angeles, the requirements are all very similar. You have to collect a tax from your guests when you rent or book your property, and then that tax has to be paid typically monthly to at least one tax agency. Sometimes there's multiple tax agencies involved, like you have to pay a city and a state type of thing. And before you can pay, you have to be registered. So you have to fill out a bunch of forms and paperwork, get registered. You have to do research, figure out the tax rate. Then you have to file and pay the taxes each month. So there's a lot of moving parts, and a lot of people doing this just aren't very familiar with it. So we developed a hosted software solution. I can tell people, think of us like TurboTax, but for lodging taxes. So it's a hosted solution. You just sign up for our service on the website, and we basically tell people the tax rate, fill out all the forms, and then once everything's set up, we make sure the taxes are filed and paid correctly each month. It's really on autopilot, but this is all technology and software driven solution against what's a complicated sales and hotel occupancy tax are a complicated set of requirements.
Suppose somebody's listening today and they've got rental property that they're not paying tax on, and they're not even sure what they should do about it or how they could even collect on taxes that may be owed from previous times they've rented their property. Can you all assist with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very common. Every day we have people that contact us that have been renting either for several months or several years. And again, just really not knowing or not understanding these requirements. And they, came across a news article or a discussion with a friend or a notification from one of the websites and realized, this is something I need to be doing. So, we run the gamut. We have different programs where we can help people that have been renting for several years or people that are just starting out.
Okay, cool. Hey, I'm curious if you are seeing any changes in the economy from your business. Anything that you could speak to?
Yeah, we're not. I mean, I think short-term rentals is one of the fastest, if not the fastest, growing segment within travel. So at a high level, we're not seeing any slowdown. In fact, I think short-term rentals are really, they've really, I think, become ubiquitous over the last, several years. I think Airbnb is a household name. It's become easier and easier to do. And I will tell you, we've been doing this for some time. And when there was the Great Recession of 2007, 2008, and this is anecdotal, what we saw at that point is actually more people, because they were under personal, more kind of financial constraints, if they had a second home or investment property or maybe a second home in a resort area that they just used personally, a lot of those people in that time, those kind of economically challenging times, put their property in the short-term rental pool. So we actually saw a lot of growth in inventory the last time we went through a real pullback. But, right now we haven't seen, we see a lot of, robust growth across the board.
When we look at residential real estate for the average homeowner who's going to buy a rental property for themselves, we think about what the rents would be. And I'm speaking really to general audience listening. I want you to think about how you might have bought a beach house, and maybe you had a $4,000 monthly payment for a beach house. Avalara, which supports collecting the taxes, the hotel taxes that are necessary for everyone who owns property that rents it out, they have this system that they've created. Again, it's called Avalara, which is A-V-A-L-A-R-A, so four A's. What's happening is people are buying homes and they're willing to pay $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a month in a mortgage payment because they're not factoring for a typical mom and pop owning a property and renting it out. It's really based upon the 2 to 3 night average rental cost. If you think about renting a hotel and spending $300 or $350 or $400 a night for a hotel, and if you are a family with five kids, instead of going and renting at a hotel and paying $1,300 or $1,400 for a night, you could rent a house for $800. Multiply $800 times 20 days in a month, that's a $16,000 return on the investment, minus the taxes, minus the cost of cleaning, minus these other things. Maybe you still end up netting $13,000 or $14,000. So you're in a positive cash flow by doing rentals. That's the model currently for Airbnb and VRBO and other sites like it. Avalara can assist you in making sure you don't get into trouble when you're going down that road. True?
Yeah, correct. And there's different segments to the market. I mean, there's the traditional Airbnb host where maybe is just kind of renting their apartment, their primary house a few days a week to make a few extra bucks. And then there's the investor or the second homeowner that's made a significant investment and is kind of more serious about the efforts, trying to drive a lot of rent. And I think to your point, depending on the market, one thing that obviously we're seeing across the U.S. is the monetization. The rent that you can realize for short-term rent often is significantly greater than if you put it into a six-month or one-year lease long-term rental pool. There's more moving parts involved, but there certainly can be more attractive economics in the short-term rental market, which I think is pulling a lot of people into it. And one of the big trends we're seeing is a lot of the corporate housing and multifamily operators are starting to deploy a segment of their portfolios. These are apartments, rental buildings into the short-term rental market, just because it's a more attractive, more attractive yields, more attractive rent.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So this is Rob Stevens. Rob, thanks for joining us today. To find out more about Avalara, just go to avalara.com. That's A-V-A-L-A-R-A.com. And appreciate your time today. And thanks and have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So we're getting homes ready for the market in 2019. And I want to bring you back to earlier this year to a couple who listed their home with us in December, January timeframe in order for us to guide them through the preparation of their house for sale. A $1.3 million home and a walking distance to downtown Vienna. Pretty location, relatively recently built, 2002-2003 construction. house was dated. I know that sounds kind of strange. It dated at 2002, but the era of paint at that time was much more in the olives and the browns and those kinds of things. So making modifications to that and also fixing some issues, including a granite countertop that had a chip out of the granite, and having a company come in that actually will fix chipped granite to take care of that. Also, we had a buckle in some hardwood floors as a result of plants, of water from plants dripping into the hardwood, and it buckled, and so we had to bring in a flooring contractor. Replaced carpets, which were aged and showed, if you've ever been in relatively recently built homes, if you've ever noticed at the seam where the rug ducks underneath the molding that's at the corner at the walls, so you have molding down like shoe molding, the carpet goes right underneath that. Well, air is traveling through the carpet like a cigarette filter at the edges where the walls are. So you'll notice that it's kind of darker at the walls on lighter colored carpets. And that's just simply because that's just dirt. You can clean that off. And if the carpet's in good shape, you don't have to replace it because of that. So be aware. Preparing that house for sale and coming to the market in the spring of 2018, required about 6 weeks of preparation work, us bringing Helen Flynn and my group and I worked the listing together. We brought in the right contractors. We made the modifications that were necessary. We got the photos done of the inside, the outside photos, house face to the east and the front. So we took morning photos, and we came to the market early this year and sold the house in about 3.5 to 4 weeks. At that price point, that's about the average time frame for between $1 and $1.5 million. Sold the house quickly, got a great response. Good preparation and the will to be prepared will help you achieve your highest and best sales price. For more information, go to ericstewartgroup.com. I'll take a quick break. Local news coming up.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Welcome back to Pointing You Home. Gaithersburg, Maryland community is proposing a new single-family multi-unit development that's at the Crown Farm. If you're familiar with Crown Farm, it's the downtown Crown is this very pretty man-made community that just kind of popped out of nowhere about 6 to 7 years ago with this entire development where the Crown Farm was located, right near the Rio, if you're familiar with where that is, off 370 at 270. Well, there's going to be a new development coming, Crown East, and the Flats of Crown, which will have condos and single family as well as townhouses. Condos will be priced in the mid 400s. Particularly nice location if you work in DC to come home to. Very convenient to the metro. You're just one stop from the metro there. Lots of good restaurants. And if you're looking for something between about 1,300 and 1,700 square feet, starting in the mid 400s, good location. Check it out. Virginia Hospital Center has gotten approval. If you're not aware of this, they've applied to expand by 101 new beds. The Arlington County Board voted 3-2 to allow for the rezoning and site plan use permit for Virginia Hospital Center's new 7-story outpatient building. That's on a 5.6-acre site at North George Mason Drive. And this is, there's change is always hard, especially I think the two people who dissented were dissenting because the neighbors were upset and wanted some additional, I guess, some considerations, perhaps in design or otherwise. It's always hard to bring change, right? Now, 101 new beds will bring a lot of patients into the hospital, and the hospital, this is the only hospital in Arlington County, as I understand it. So they need more space. All right, Alexandria, a condominium complex is wrapped around a lively lifestyle. So get with this. So there are amenities, buildings, forested areas, all are kind of like a college campus in Alexandria, Virginia at Montebello. If you're familiar, three-bedroom condominiums there starting in 1997. Everything you need is right there. They got their own bowling alley, folks. That means they've arrived. So they've got a plethora of social events in Montebello. And it's bordered by Richmond Highway to the east, Mount Eagle Park to the west. And if you're familiar with Cityside, Huntington Apartments to the south and Huntington Avenue to the north, that's where you'll find Montebello. Check it out. If you're interested and want assistance in finding a condo ready to make a downsize move or upsize to a condo, regardless, think of the Eric Stewart Group at Long & Foster. Our toll-free number, to call us, and one of our great team members will help you, is 800-900-9104. We bring you simply the best real estate experience, whether you're buying or selling, at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. You heard about sports betting bills that have come to Virginia after the Supreme Court's decision. Now, Delegate Mark Sickles and Chap Peterson, who are Fairfax Democrats, are attempting to get Virginia to allow for sports gambling. So Sickles said, "I think it's time to bring illegal sports gambling that's going on into the light, have it regulated, and have it benefit Virginia's economy." So this is an economic argument specifically that he's making. We all know in our knower that when you bring gambling and you approve gambling, you create more hardship and problems at the end of the day. Even if you put money into the coffers of schools to help the schools be better, it came at the loss of somebody betting on gambling. Now, I got to say, I'm not completely against the idea of having gambling or because I mean, I play Risk and I play, I play board games and that kind of thing. And occasionally if I'll go to Vegas, as a family, we went, and I think, I think I spent $20 or $30, you know, but it was very limited. I was very disciplined about it. Now, they did make money off of that, so I can't really be self-righteous in my considerations. It's just the idea of having legal sports betting and where I think that would kind of lead us. If you've ever seen the part three of the Back to the Future movie series, you remember, where it's like the future and, I mean, civilization has basically been wrecked by gambling. Anyway, okay, enough of my opinions. There's another housing crisis. If you're not familiar with this, there are cities where home prices are low because people are leaving. Washington, D.C., folks, perfect example, 1970s, 1980s. Prices stayed low, and they were low for a long time because people didn't want to live in D.C. Things have flipped, haven't they? We've got prices higher in Washington, D.C. than they are in Arlington or in Bethesda, Maryland. I could not have told you that that was going to happen. I wish that I had seen it. I would have bought more real estate as an investor. But so be it. There are places like that. Akron, Ohio, for example, 300,000 residents about 30 years ago, and now 200,000 today. So rather than just leaving it to be a managed decline, there are incentives that Akron has. And I probably don't say this right. Akron. I got some advice from Ken Hunter behind the board. By the way, Ken Hunter, best engineer in radio. I get the fortune of having him behind the board. Ken Hunter, thank you.
I just can't help but allow my education to sometimes come out and help you through this grueling time. So I apologize, but it's sometimes necessary.
Thank you, Ken Hunter, Akron. He gave me Akron, folks.
Watch people call and say, no, it's Akron.
The fact that I was even saying it that way is almost ridiculous. Now that I've heard you say it, I think...
That's like that Oregon and Oregon thing.
Oregon, right. Or origami, or origami. Or maybe not.
I just call them Californians.
Hey, you can't build wealth through equity if property values are not going up, right? So... here are some benefits. In 2015, there were more than 500 Akron homes torn down and fewer than 10 were built. 500 were torn down, 10 were built. Today, that was in 2015. Today, there are more than 1,000 units of new housing in some stage of development. Now, what happened in the last 3.5 years? Really, really simple. There's been a tax abatement program, which is essentially taxes have not gone up for people who've taken down a house and rebuilt a house there. The taxes only has been essentially kept on the original value of the property for 15 years. So you got a $300,000 property, you put $300,000 into it, and you have a home worth $750,000, the assessor would say it's worth $750,000 normally. Akron is saying, no, it's $300,000. It's what it was before you started. We want you improving the real estate. We want you to live here, and we're willing to give you a reason to stay. Now, as I'm seeing it, if there's a $3,000 to $4,000 a year savings in tax, let's call it four just for the sake of it, over 15 years, that's a $60,000 savings for taxes. It's a great idea. It's a great idea because it rewards a very specific behavior, which is improving the real estate in Akron. Good job, Akron. they are being modeled now by other cities around the country because of that. Now, this is not the first time anybody's done it, but they're doing it very successfully, going from 500 torn down and only 10 built in 2015 to now over 1,000 currently under construction in some form of construction is monstrous. It's huge. Congratulations. Hey, speaking of listings coming to the market, we have a specific home I want to bring as a property of the week today. This is a property at 13420 Cleveland Drive in Rockville, Maryland. Now, Rockville, we think of probably like a lot of towns where it's got its original center because it's the seat of Montgomery County is Rockville, Maryland. But there are sections of Rockville which are really quite rural feeling, and Glen Hills is one of those peaceful, lovely spots that is very close to 270. It's just a 6-minute drive into downtown Rockville, and everything that's been going on there gives you Wooten High School, Robert Frost Middle School, and Fallsmead Elementary School. This home, stone foyer, leads to an open living room with its wood-burning fireplace, casting a glow, which is very important at this time of year so that we can see Santa coming down his chimney, right? French doors lead to an outdoor stone patio. It's a chef's kitchen with double wall ovens, 2 built-in microwaves, and rear screen and porch. Huge house, acre property, 2-car garage, separate shed, quiet neighborhood, and terrific location. Love the ponds in Glen Hills. If you like to play ice hockey, Glen Hills is the place to buy because there are multiple ponds in Glen Hills that freeze over that I still love to play hockey on from time to time. More information at ericstewartgroup.com. Well, got to wrap it up, folks. Straight ahead, we've got seniors solutions and a checklist for monitoring your home remotely. I'll be right back with that.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.